Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kate Culver. The sermon is based on scripture from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 18, and Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Central Sunday morning service for the 27th of April, 2025, the second Sunday of Easter, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons under Worship.
All right, our second text today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 13 to 25. Listen now for the word of God for you and for me. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk all along?" And they stood still, and they looked sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" And Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, a mighty indeed, and before the word of God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, besides all of this, it is now the third day since things took place. Moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus of Nazareth said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart you are to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then in the beginning, with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted them the things about himself and all the scriptures. And as they came near to the village which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he was going on, but they urged him strongly to stay, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." And so Jesus went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" In that same hour, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, this scripture all begins with a walk. Two disciples, one named Cleopas and the other one unnamed, they're heading out of Jerusalem. But they are not rushing towards hope. They're walking away from it. Because it's Easter Sunday, but they don't know it yet. All they know is what they had lost. Jesus, the one they followed and loved, has just been executed. The man they believed would redeem Israel, the one they hoped would flip the script and overflow Rome and usher in a kingdom of God, has died a brutal and public and humiliating death. And so they do what so many people do when the bottom falls out. They walk away. They walk and they talk, and they try to stitch together some sort of meaning back into the story. Luke tells us that they are discussing, but it's more than that. The Greek word here is homileo, which suggests that it's something deeper, something more than small talk. What it really is a sermon in motion, a meditation, a theological grief spiral with a long and winding road and no clear destination. And then a stranger joins them. And Luke says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But what is preventing them from recognizing their old pal Jesus? Is it divine mystery? Is it their own despair? Is it their assumptions? Maybe it's yes to all three. Because let's be honest, how often do we fail to see what is right in front of us? Whether it is God or beauty or the person in our lives who has been quietly carrying us, all too often we miss it. We're too deep in our own stories. We're too angry, we're too scared, we're too tired, too certain about what isn't possible. Sometimes we feel like just throwing in the towel and walking away. And that's kind of what the disciples are doing. They're walking away from the city, away from the community, away from the resurrection, but they don't know it yet. They say to Jesus, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." Downtrodden, we had hoped. Past tense. And it is such a painfully honest phrase. And maybe you've said it too. We had hoped treatment would work. We had hoped that this time church would be different. We had hoped that this movement would bring real change. We had hoped, and it just didn't happen. And maybe, just like the disciples, you found yourself wandering, maybe physically or spiritually, disoriented, disappointed, looking for meaning in the silence, looking for God. And it seems appropriate for this time and place, doesn't it? After all, with all the struggles in the world, God is hard to find sometimes. And yet we are presented today with two texts which address this. And this is where that other old story comes in, the one that Harry read from Exodus. The Israelites have just been liberated from slavery in Egypt, and you think that they would be celebrating, right? But instead, they are grumbling. They are hungry. They are scared. They are at the end of their ropes. They're in the wilderness without a clear path or plan for the future. And so they cry out to Moses and Aaron, "If only we had died in Egypt. At least we had food." That's a talk about we had hoped moment. They've left behind what enslaved them, but freedom feels really risky. God has promised to be with him, but they don't feel it yet. The desert doesn't look like deliverance. And what does God do? Well, God does not snap back. God does not shame them. God hears them, and God provides manna in the morning, quail in the evening, bread for their journey. Not because they believed perfectly or were even doing the right thing, because God is faithful even when we are not. The disciples on the road to Emmaus are walking in their own wilderness, hoping against hope. They're uncertain. And like the Israelites, they are not met with condemnation, but with companionship. Friends, God comes near even when we're walking away. In Eastern philosophy, there's a word for this pain of expectation. It's dukkha, which is the suffering that comes from clinging to the way we think things ought to be. And the response is something that I talked about the last time I stood up here. Do you remember when I was talking about attachment? The Sanskrit word is aparigraha, which is the practice of letting go, of loosening our grip on how it was supposed to turn out, so that we can be present to what actually is. And that's the disciples' road, aparigraha, the letting go of the version of Jesus that they had expected. And it is, as we've said many times, hard to let go. Letting go is not a passive shrug. It is a brave, vulnerable act of trust. And this is what happens when the disciples make their way down the road. Even though they are headed in the wrong direction, even though they are sad and confused and talking in circles, Jesus walks with them anyway. And for a while, he just listens. He listens to their bad theology. He listens to their grief. He listens to their assumptions. And then he speaks, and he says, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart you are to believe." But he's not scolding them, no. I like to think of Jesus like a yoga teacher gently correcting my posture, which happens often. So, not quite. Let's try it this way instead. Try again. And we do find ways to try again, don't we? As y'all know, I am a great proponent of spiritual retreats. I like silence, and I like space. And a few years ago, I was on a retreat, and I'd come into it a little bit frayed, tired from church work, world-wearied, emotionally spent. Do you know those times when you are technically functioning but not really living? I was in that space, and I thought, man, if I just had a few days of silence and prayer and meditation, maybe I'll have like a big breakthrough or a burning bush moment, or at the very least, a solid TED Talk from God. Spoiler, I did not. But the first 2 days were quiet. They were very peaceful, but not in a way that I imagined. They were kind of restless, and I sat in silence, but the silence didn't feel holy. It felt blank. And then one afternoon, I went for a long, slow walk on a wooded trail behind the retreat house, and I wasn't trying to pray anymore. I was tired. I wasn't trying to get anything. I was just walking. And it had rained earlier, and I can still remember the smell of the pine needles and the mud. And then I remember that without even realizing it, I felt my shoulders drop, and my breath did deepen. And I didn't hear God speak, and I didn't have a mythical vision, but I did feel held. I felt kept company. Not fixed, but accompanied. And then something in me just let go. And I think that for me, that's when the resurrection slipped in. Not with noisy clarity, but with a presence. And I didn't run back to the chapel shouting hallelujahs, but something in me did change. Slow, internal warmth, kind of like a fire being coaxed back to life. And I walked back to the building, and I made a cup of tea, and for the first time that whole week, I didn't feel alone. And now I look back, and I think, was my heart burning, and I didn't even know it yet? Friends, this is the Emmaus story. It is the slow burn of our faith. After hours of walking, after scripture and story, after grief and hunger, they sit down at a table. And Jesus takes bread, and he breaks it, and he blesses it, and it gives it to them. And in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are open. Not in the lecture, not the argument, in the body, in the ordinary, in the sharing. And it's in that moment that their hearts catch up to what their minds couldn't quite grasp. And they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking on the road?" And that line is everything. They didn't recognize it in the moment, but looking back, they realize faith was rekindling. The embers were catching fire. This is a story for anyone who has ever felt their faith grow cold. For anyone who has ever felt like they were just going through the motions. For anyone who thinks that God has gone silent, it's so human. How often does God feel absent in the moment only to mistakenly present it in hindsight? The disciples had clung to an image of what they think redemption ought to look like. They had hoped for a conquering hero and a visible victory, but what they received was something much quieter, deeper, stranger, and more holy. The road to Emmaus was never the destination, but it was the space where healing began. We need each other's stories. We need people who will listen and walk and feed and believe on our behalf, even when we don't, because we don't, because we're not sure we can do it on our own. And that's what church is about. That is what this church, this place, is all about. Not to have answers, but to build community, to be a community of presence, to keep the fire going, to notice the stranger, to break the bread, to say together, didn't our hearts burn? And in case no one has told you recently, in case you are feeling hopeless and alone and angry and frustrated, even in these gut-wrenching times, we've got each other. We've got you. We've got each other. And it may be quiet, and it may be slow, but it's still there because your heart is still burning. So walk and breathe and pay attention. And remember, as the poet Rilke said, God speaks to each of us as God makes us. Then God walks silently with us out of the night. So keep walking this faith, of this road of faith, my friends, because we need it now more than ever. Because the resurrection is already beside you. And may our hearts burn slowly and deeply and steadily with the love of God who walks with us always. May it be so. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.